Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? We got a big show for you tonight. Great week for combat sports. And me and Key's going to be here to break it down for you. Sorry, it sounds like I'm out of breath, but I had to run upstairs and get ready. Yo, Keys, you there, bro?
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
Yes, sir. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. All right. Normally with our show, we normally don't lead off with boxing, but this is a big week for boxing. Did you watch the you watching the UFC Saturday? So I'm quite sure. Are you gonna try to look at a little bit of the Spence Crawford fight?
So I'm gonna try. I'm gonna offer it. Like I told, I don't know my exact plans for where I'm watching the fight. I know I'm pretty sure I'm not hosting it, but like I have. It depends on what I do. I told one of my guys that I was like, "Yo, if you wanna watch," I was like, "I'm pretty sure we could grab a stream for both of them," but I was like, "If we're buying them, I can buy one of the pay per views. If you want to buy the other one, and we can kind of switch off between the Crawford and Spence card and UFC 291, and he said that was cool, but I just don't know if, like I said, I'm going to offer it up, and I'm going to try to watch both, you know what I mean? But, yeah, UFC 291, I mean, that's my main course. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know what I mean? I kind of forgot a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I kind of forgot until I read the breakdown that you had. I was like, oh, damn, that fight is this weekend, but yeah, I want to see it, but it's, yeah, I mean, 291 is definitely my priority, especially from the betting standpoint because, you know, I'm over here doing DD and whatnot. I'm doing analysis and looking at all these fights, and so my mind is, like, really deep into the UFC card.
I totally get it. Well, I'm going to one of my friends' house, and I already know they're going to be watching the Crawford-Spence fight. So, I have the UFC paid for, so I'll be able to watch it when I come home later on that night or in first thing in the morning, but I will be watching it. So, but, hey, man, it's a good weekend, man. I wish they would have done one on Sunday. You know, maybe the UFC could have took theirs on Sunday and let boxing have a shine on Saturday or, you know, vice versa or whatever so that, you know, people could enjoy both. But I get it. You know, when they schedule these events, basically I think you only can have, I think there's a rule or something that you only can have two pay-per-view events or something per weekend or something like that. Hey man, it's a great weekend for combat sports overall. That's the bottom line, really.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much have the biggest fight that you can make in boxing right now, and one of the biggest fights you can make in the UFC. I don't know if it's probably not the biggest fight to make in the UFC, but it's definitely one of them, and overall probably one of the biggest rematches that you can make, and, you know, probably the two most entertaining fighters in the UFC. So, yeah, it's definitely it's a big one. Plus, yeah, you already know the drill. It's a huge weekend for combat sports, man. Between those two, I mean, boxing's been on fire. I was just telling my boy, you know, a couple of days ago, I was like, yo, boxing's been on fire, man. I mean, and the UFC is booking big fights. It's not like, you know, it's lacking there. It's definitely not lacking. They're booking the fights. It's just boxing is really unloading like all the biggest fights that have been, you know, talked about over the past couple of years, and they're pretty much all somehow getting booked in 2023. You know, it's like, you know, you had Tank and Ryan that got booked. You have this fight, you know, just got booked. It's like all these fights are going down, like all these super fights basically, and somehow all in the same year. And that's, you know, hats off, man. Boxing is killing it right now.
And you know what? I was just telling my boy, man, he's a big-time boxer fan. And I was like, man, 2023 has been a resurgence of boxing, but they can't let it slip in 2024. You can't have a good year in 2023 and then fall back in your old ways in 2024. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep it hot. You know why the fans are back into the sport. And one fight we did talk about is, you know, you got Canelo versus Charlo coming up. You got the gimmick fight of Fury versus Ngannou. You got, it was somebody else that's supposed to. You might get Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder to close out the year or open up 2024. So there's some fights out there to be had, man. But, you know, man, it's just good that, you know, boxing has stepped back to the forefront and making good fights. But, you know, one thing about us UFC fans, the UFC always put on, they always give us good fights. You know, the best fight the best. Ain't no ducking, ain't no dodging, and more importantly, it's only one belt. So with that being said, another thing that the UFC beat boxing on is the undercard, the prelims. UFC prelims are normally really, really good. You know, it's up-and-coming guys that's hungry, up-and-coming girls that's hungry, and normally finish with finishes on the prelims. So, boxing, man, I was looking at the undercard for this Spence Crawford fight, bro, and there was maybe three names I recognized on the undercard, and I was like, man, this is sad. I'd probably be watching the prelims on my phone, the UFC prelims on my phone while the UFC undercard is on. I mean, while the boxing undercard is on. But, this weekend, man, we got Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence. Man, this fight, Keys, is like 5 years in the making. You know, Crawford, you know, he was a unified champion, moved up to 147 just to fight Errol Spence. Crawford was on ESPN, Spence was on PBC, and, you know, normally the cross promotions, they try to protect their guys, get them favorable matchups, and I think that's what it took Crawford becoming a free agent to actually make this fight happen. But here we are, man. And, you know, man, it's great, man, especially coming off the Inoue fight, man, who knocked off Stephen Fulton on Tuesday, and he just moved up in weight. So he just got two belts. So, man, it's been a great week for boxing, bro. But my prediction for Crawford and Spence, Keith, this is going to break my heart to say it, but I really do feel it deep down in my spirit. I think this fight is going to be a draw. I think unless one guy totally dominates the other guy or knocks the guy out, this fight is going to end in a draw because I have no confidence in boxing when it comes to judging. I said that many and many a times. This ain't my first time saying it. Probably won't be my last time saying it. Last weekend was a sure thing of that. Kambosos lost to Hughes, and lo and behold, they gave the fight to Kambosos. Ain't no way he won that fight. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, man, I got this fight Saturday being a draw, bro. And I hate to say that, but I just think that's the way it's gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the era where we just saw Canelo and Triple G fight three times, and a lot of people said Triple G won the first fight, and then they fought a second time. A lot of people said Triple G won the second fight, and I want to say they gave it to Canelo the second time, and I thought the first fight was a draw, or however it went. A lot of people feel like Triple G won both the first two fights, and then, you know, for business, they pretty much, you know, made a third fight, which probably wasn't needed, but they wait until, you know, Triple G, regardless, you know, they wait till he gets older, and that's a whole other thing. But it's, you know, for business-wise, you see them, you know, ironically, you use the word, they're drawing that out. You know, you see them wanting to, you see the motive to make the first Canelo and Triple G fight be ruled a split draw or whatever it was, so that they could make a rematch, because the rematch would be even bigger, even though a lot of people felt like Triple G won the first fight, you know, and then you make the second fight, a lot of people felt like they give it to Canelo, but a lot of people felt like Triple G won the second fight, and then, but they give it to Canelo, it's like, so now they can make a third fight, you know, so I don't doubt that at all. I after we just saw that happen, you know, the past 5 years or so, whatever that just was, I could definitely believe it, you know, that being a draw. And with that point being made, you know, shout out to my guys that are, you know, probably betting it to end in a draw on the sportsbook right now. I think that's a good decision. I think that's, you know, you put a couple bucks on it being a draw. Hey, I don't think that's a bad call. You know what I mean? Usually when you see a draw, the betting line for a draw, for a lot of these UFC fights too, especially title fights, especially, you know, a heavyweight fight or where they expect it's going to end in a finish. The draw, you know, I've seen like plus 8,000 odds for a draw. And realistically, a draw is not that unrealistic. You know what I mean? Especially in the sport of boxing. So, and especially in a title fight in the UFC. So, you know, we saw Tyron Woodley and Stephen Thompson go to a draw in their first fight. You know, we saw Figueiredo and Moreno not that long ago go to a draw in their title fight. So it does happen. It's not a very unlikely thing. It is a likely thing. And a lot of these high-stakes fights, because especially where you have the, you know, it's extremely competitive and you have, you know, the number one and number two guy or the champ and the number one guy. It's like the competition is so thick that it could very well be a draw. So, yeah, just saying for y'all on the betting lines, don't be, you know, don't be a jerk to that draw, you know, the plus 800 because, or plus 2,000, because the draw is more realistic than, you know, if you look at history, it's more realistic than you might want to admit.
All right. Well, enough about boxing, man. Let's talk about, there was some fight announcements that came out last week before we get into 291. Your boy Rob Font is fighting Sanhagen at a catchweight of 140. What's your early thoughts on that fight, bro?
I think that fighting Corey Sanhagen on short notice is a bad idea. I'm always happy when they find replacements for these fights because, you know me, I like to see the fight happen, even if it's not the fight that we wanted because it was supposed to be – was it Cheeto? Who was it supposed to be? No, it wasn't Cheeto. Nah. I don't know who it was supposed to be. But
Omega Madoff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Umar and Omega Madoff.
That's right. Cheeto's fighting some way. He's somewhere. I don't know where he's fighting. He's somewhere coming up. But
he supposed to have been fighting Cringeworthy. He supposed to have been fighting our boy Triple C. Cejudo.
But I think Cejudo fell out of that fight too, right?
Yep.
So Cheeto doesn't have an opponent, right?
He's fighting Pedro Munhoz.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, so that's the thing right there. So, yeah, Sanhagen and Cheeto fought earlier this year. That's what I was thinking. All right, so I think fighting Sanhagen on short notice is a bad idea, even though I like the fact that Rob Font steps up and keeps the fight together because I always like to see the fight stay together. But I don't know if I love his chances against Sanhagen on short notice, especially where Sanhagen looked really good against Cheeto. And you could tell he added, you know, notches to his game. The way he was getting Cheeto in the clinch and really slowing down his offense, that was impressive. You know, we saw you could tell that Sanhagen is trying to add some new weapons to his arsenal. So, I don't know, short notice. I mean, then again, you could say Sanhagen was training for a very different fight in Umar Nurmagomedov versus a Rob Font. That's, you know, two very different fights right there, in my opinion. But I still think that Sanhagen, yeah, I still don't like Rob Font's chances. I mean, I love him getting the big fight. I like him getting the look, and obviously I'll be rooting for him. I'd love to see him win, but I don't know how much I believe he can beat Corey Sanhagen on a short notice fight like this.
I think now that I think about it after you say that, I think Font might have an advantage, though. I think he's the naturally bigger guy. And I think fighting at 140, maybe, possibly he's not going to have to drain his body all the way down to 135. And I think Font is naturally a heavy hitter. So, and Sanhagen, he really doesn't do a lot of wrestling. And I think Font normally, he likes to stand and bang. So this fight stylistically might be a good fight for Font. But like you said, it's a short notice fight. So he's not getting a full. Well, he was. He posted him fighting at UFC 292. So the guy he was supposed to be fighting fell out. So that's why he got pushed up to this one. So, you know, I give Font a chance, but I'm with you on this one. Fighting a guy like Corey Sanhagen and his unorthodox style and constant movement, you probably do need a complete, you know, a fight camp where you just focusing on him. But I look forward to the fight, and hats off to Rob Font for accepting the fight on short notice. This is a fight that... I think when you tweeted at me this fight, I couldn't type fast enough my response. So me and you was talking about Hamzat tomorrow a couple weeks ago, like why is he fought? And then lo and behold, the UFC announced Hamzat. I put Islam on the read, but it's actually Hamzat versus Paulo Costa. Keys. I don't think there is a snowball chance in hell Paulo Costa can win this fight. Every fight, there's a puncher's chance in every fight. Paulo Costa is heavy-handed, but I don't think he can deal with Hamzat's wrestling, bro. I think Hamzat's wrestling is going to smother him, and I just don't see this being a good matchup for Paulo Costa. I see it'd be a great matchup for Hamzat. But what you think, bro?
I'm coming in much like when you asked me about McGregor versus Habib. I'm coming in savage. Like Hamzat is going to dump him on his head in the opening exchange. Costa's going to get slammed on his head. He's a big balloon animal. he's a big balloon animal. I always thought this guy is just, he bothers me so much, Paulo Costa. This guy always just, it just always rubbed me the wrong way. It was like in the beginning, he was Borakina, and then he changed his name to Paulo Costa. And then it was like ever since then, they pushed him. He fought pretty much nobodies, and he was knocking guys out, and then they pushed him a lot. And then, I don't know, because, you know, then he has a personality, but I think I always felt like he thought he was way better than he actually was. I never thought he was that good. And then, like, other people thought he was way better than he was. And then he had all this hype. Then he started feeling his hype. And then he's, you know, was talking trash with Chimaev at the PI. You know, I think that was, like, last year or whenever that was. It wasn't that long ago. They were talking trash to each other across the cage at the PI. And people were saying, like, Costa would destroy Chimaev, and I'm like, I don't know, bro. I think Chimaev will dump that balloon animal on his head, bro. I think he's going to get slammed on his head bad. You know what I mean? He might get smashed to pieces in the first round, man. I think, you know, it could be a really rough night for him. You know what I mean? He might just, you know, I hope that, you know, he got in his contract a good – I know he renegotiated his contract, so I'm sure he got himself enough show money to where it's okay to not get the win money because he knows he's getting demolished against Chimaev. So I think he's just happy to get the big payday and that he renegotiated his contract because he's not getting his other half because he's not winning. That's really it. He's not getting the 50K, the performance bonus. You're going to get smashed out, and that's it. I think Chimaev is going to steamroll him bad. I think it's a big fight, and I'm glad they got it together. They had to move Costa and Oliskarov over from this weekend's card because we were going to watch Koska versus Aliskarov. Now we're watching Aliskarov versus another guy. He's fighting, what's his name? And then Koska's going to get, you know, dumped on his head by Chimaev and smashed to pieces probably in the first round. You know, I don't think he'll make it more than, you know, more than the second round. So that's pretty much it, man. I think Chimaev's about to roll him bad.
Yeah, man, I don't like this matchup at all. It's gonna be people out there saying the UFC is giving Hamzat another easy matchup or another favorable matchup. I just don't see Paulo Costa hand enough, though. I don't even see him really putting up a fight. I just don't like this matchup at all. But I'm happy to see Hamzat fighting. I guess he's finally off punishment. Me and you had said maybe the UFC, you know, put him in a doghouse, and it seemed like that. But then, you know, now he has a fight. So, all right, Keys. Now, this is a guy that me and you like. Michael Venom Page MVP. He's a free agent. He said he's going to explore his options. He's going to see what he's worth on the open market. What are the chances you think Venom Page signs with the UFC? And if he does sign with the UFC, what weight class? I can't remember what weight class he is. Is he 145? 155? I think he won 55.
MVP?
Yeah.
I thought he was a welterweight.
I'm going to look it up. But
because I know Lima, I thought Lima was a welterweight, and then I thought Paul Daly was a welterweight too, but I think you might think that because I think Paul Daly was fighting at 155, and I think he might have moved up. I think he might have been fighting both. But MVP, I'm pretty sure, is like 170, like to 185 range, because then he just went and fought Mike Perry in bare knuckle, and yeah, you know he lost to Mike Perry in bare knuckle. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know.
I was not aware of that. I only just found that out recently, and I didn't even know they fought. I was like, what? I was like, Mike Perry beat MVP. What?
Mike Perry is a beast over there in that bare knuckle, man.
No, he is a beast, man. That's why when I'm pretty mad I didn't bet Mike Perry to money line to beat Rockhold, because that was an easy one, man. I'm kind of kicking myself about that one, because that was like free money, man. Rockhold was not, that is like not a guy that is gonna beat a Mike Perry ever, and if he was, like, it would have had to been back when Rockhold was like, you would have had to be prime Rockhold, you would have had to been champion Rockhold to beat Mike Perry, and even then it wouldn't have been, you know, he would have never ran through him, I don't think. But it's just Rocco was not meant for. But see, to the point, MVP, I'm very happy that MVP, yeah, he was welterweight, and I saw that he was just at UFC London. Did you see him in the crowd at UFC London? Come on, bro, they gotta sign him. Just announced it. Someone showed that his little AV is on the UFC website, bro. Did you see that? They said that he has a profile on the UFC website, like a fighter profile, but it doesn't show his picture. It's like the silhouette. And I'm like, come on, bro, just announce it, bro. He's a free agent. He's getting signed to the UFC. Just put it out. Put it out, right? Maybe they'll announce it this weekend. I'm quite sure that he'll be out here. I would not doubt that we see him K-side at this weekend fight. You know what I mean? It's especially where you have, you know, Kevin Holland on the main card. You're going to have, I'm pretty sure that's a welterweight fight. You have a pretty, you know, big welterweight fight. Kevin Holland is fighting, Michael Chiesa on there. So you have some fights. You have guys where, it's, you know, he could be fighting guys. Imagine a Kevin Holland, an MVP fight. I think that'd be great. That's a great fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Because I just looked it up. Yeah, he is a welterweight. And, you know, that's one of the divisions that's really kind of top-heavy. You know, you got Usman, Covington, Bilal, Hamzat, Gilbert Burns, you know, Rachmaninoff, Wonderboy. And then, you know, you got some guys. You got Neil Manning, Chiesa, Madalena, Ian Gary, Vicente Luque. So, you know, man, I hope the UFC signs him, because who wouldn't want to see Venom Page versus Kamaru Usman? Venom Page versus Kobe Covington? Venom Page versus Jeff Neal and fights like that? I just hope that he don't be that guy that overprices himself, thinking he's worth more than what he's really worth. Come to the UFC, show that you are a big-time fighter, and the money will come. The money will come as far as them promoting you, you know, you getting bigger sponsorship deals. There is ways of making money outside of the octagon. So I was happy to see him in the crowd. So, Venom Page, man, I know you're talking about PFL, going back to Bellator, but if you want to see where you at in this fight game, whether or not you really one of the best way you can do that is by coming to the UFC. And that's the bottom line, Keys.
And that's the bottom line, man. We've been talking about it for years, I feel like, a possible MVP. I mean, that was the guy, too, that I had doubts about him, you know, but I think over time he proved himself. You know, I thought he was a guy that I thought there's certain guys that are, like, easy to root against, you know what I mean? Especially for me, it's like Brock Lesnar is one of those guys. Like, I never wanted to see him do well. I just never really been a fan. It's not that I want to see him do well. I just like to root against him. It's not really – he was never a likable guy for me. It's like, you know, MVP kind of had that. What was the other guy I just mentioned? Paulo Costa. Like, dudes like that just, like, kind of rub me the wrong way. And you kind of see, like, their attitude about the game and then just that arrogance that those guys, you know, tend to have from time to time. And it's especially like a Brock Lesnar. But still, it's MVP. I doubted him early on, but he proved himself. You know what I mean? He lost to Lima. He came back and beat Lima, I'm pretty sure, in the rematch. And I don't know. Did he ever win the title over there? I want to say he might have been the champ at one point. I just don't pay attention to – I don't check in with Bellator enough to know, but I think MVP might have won the belt over there at some point. And I just think he proved himself, so I respect the guy, and I think I would respect him even more if he signed to the UFC because, you know, you feel like you're that good. I respected it when he went and did bare knuckle. Come over and fight the best guys. You know what I mean? I think, yeah, how great would a Kevin Holland and MVP fight be? Or, you know, all those matchups you mentioned. How great would a, you know, Kamaru Usman versus the MVP be? You know what I mean? A Colby Covington versus MVP. Leon Edwards versus the MVP. You know what I mean? A Wonder Boy versus the MVP. I think that's a banger. That's like, come on, bro. Welterweight's got so many names in the UFC. You got to come over here and throw down with the real guys.
Yeah, man, it's just simple as that, man. To test yourself against the best is in the UFC. We watch mixed martial arts. I mean, you know, I love ONE Championship, but ONE, they got a couple guys over there. They do got a couple guys over there. They got a couple ladies over there that can go, but they definitely the C league. Bellator is definitely the B league, but the big leagues is always going to be the UFC, man. All right, Keys, let's get into it, bro. UFC 291 this weekend, headlined by the rematch. This is a rematch, yeah. The rematch of Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje. Now, it was being hyped up as the BMF 2 fight. I hope that was just like some talk or whatever, because nobody really cared about that. But this fight is going to be a banger, man. I'm not a gambler, and if people was talking about they was betting money, I would probably stay away from this fight. I would probably do another parlay or see what I can get a parlay without this fight being included. But this card has a chance of being maybe one of the best cards of the year. You got kicking off the pay-per-view. Hold on. The prelim main event is Gabriel Bonfim versus Trevin Giles. You got the first fight on the pay-per-view is Michael Chiesa versus Kevin Holland. Then you got Tony Ferguson taking on Bobby Green. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson taking on Michael Pereira. Then you got Jan Blachowicz taking on Alex Pereira, who's moving up to 205. And then you got the main event, Poirier, Gaethje 2. And when was the last time we ever seen Derrick Lewis on the prelims? Derrick Lewis is fighting on the prelims, bro. So, what's your first thoughts of this other card, man?
My first thoughts is this, and to just tail off what you just said, I was telling my guys earlier in the week, and I'm still saying it, like, you know the card, you know the ticket is you know the ticket is top heavy, you know the card is just flat out crazy when Derrick Lewis is like the seventh fight on the bill. You know what I'm saying? Like, Derrick Lewis is main evented how many times? Like, how many events? How many papers? Like, he been in title fights, you know what I mean? Main event, MSG versus Daniel Cormier. It's like, we've seen, if Derrick Lewis, like, you could say, like, you know, he's at the tail end of his career and, you know, 38 years old. It's like, yeah, that's true. And he's on a losing streak, that's true. But still, it's still Derrick Lewis. There's still guys, like, you know, Conor McGregor's barely won a fight since 2016, and he's still, it's just, there's certain guys, I'm not saying they're the same, but it's just the star power. Derrick Lewis is just such a big name in the UFC. He's definitely a star in the UFC. You know what I mean? That's a guy that people come to watch, you know what I'm saying? Even on a losing streak, people are still like, oh, Derrick Lewis is fighting? People know who that is, you know what I'm saying? Especially with his personality, he goes viral almost every time, you know what I mean? And so for him to be, you know, sixth or seventh down the bill, that's how you know this card is just flat out crazy. You know what I mean? It has to be, because that's just, wow. And Marcos Rogério de Lima is a prospect coming up too. Dude's got 14 knockouts. He's a heavyweight on the come up, you know? That's a good fight. So what was your initial question? I got a little carried away here.
you answered it. You saying this card is what it is when Derrick Lewis is on the prelims. So this card is definitely, it's going to be, if everything, when you look at the names and you look at the way the fights are matched up, this card should be a great card. And I didn't even say nothing about Miranda Maverick. She's on the early prelims, and she's actually a pretty good fighter. So, hey, man. So, looking at the card, which fight or fighter will you have your eyes on this week, this weekend?
What fighter do I have my eyes on this weekend? Let me look at this. I'm going to say, well, I'll tell you this. This dude, all right, I'll tell you this. Miranda Maverick is there. She's the first fight of the day on the 6:30 card. All right, I'm going to say this. So for the prelims, Darius Flowers is making his UFC debut on short notice for Jake Matthews. So that's an interesting character right there. Let's see how he does. Big knockout guy coming in UFC debut. For the prelims, Gabriel Bonfim is who I have my eye on for the prelims. Gabriel Bonfim, they both made a big shockwave in the UFC with their debuts. Bonfim came in and, you know, made quick work of guys. Terrence McKinney got KO'd by his brother, but then his brother just lost in his next fight. I think they got the odds switched up on the UFC.com, because Gabriel Bonfim is being shown as a plus 260 when he's really like a minus 320 favorite. So I don't know if he opened at that, but that's crazy. I don't know. Trevin got, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, ESPN got him as a minus 325 and Giles as a plus 265.
Yeah, so I think UFC.com has the odds flipped. They have it crisscrossed. But, damn, UFC, you multi-billion-dollar company, and you got the odds. Who's updating the website, bro? That's crazy, man. How much? What's the valuation now? Y'all were worth, you know, $4.2 billion back in, like, 2016. It's been 7 years. What are y'all worth, like, $7 billion now? $8 billion? Like, and they got the odds swapped on the fucking – who's the social – oh, my God, bro. That's crazy. That's crazy. So y'all got to get that in the budget, man. Y'all got to get the thing updated. That's crazy. So, yeah, Gabriel Bonteen for the prelims. And then for the main card, man, I think there's two names on the main card that have opportunity for a big moment here. One is our boy Bobby Green. I think he has the opportunity for the biggest moment on this main card because, you know, he's been climbing his way up, fighting kind of like good guys, but he hasn't gotten like a big name fight. Like, he got the Islam fight, but that was on like, you know, 8 days notice. I don't even count that. This is really like his first big name fight where it's a winnable fight, and if he wins it, that really brings his stock up. So I think he has the biggest opportunity for a look here, for Hayter after that. So I'm thinking Gabriel Bonfim prelims, and then main card, I'm looking at Bobby Green. I think this is a huge opportunity for Bobby Green there if he could beat Tony. And I love Tony, but it is what it is, bro. And, you know, favorite 155er, but you know what I'm saying? Bobby Green has an opportunity here, and that is just, you know, Tony. I think win or lose for Tony. Speaking on that, I think he should retire, bro. I think this should be his last one. I think win or lose, I think you hang it up, man. I definitely think so. And two is Alex Pereira. He's fighting at 205, bro, and he's fighting against Jan Blachowicz. This is really a crazy matchup. You know what I'm saying? Like, Poirier and Gaethje is an absolute banger. That, you know, that could very well be the fight of the night, that rematch. And obviously, number two versus number three. But, yeah, I'm thinking Bonfim, Bobby Green, and Alex Pereira fighting Jan Blachowicz at 205. That's a crazy – for a guy that was just KO'd stiff 3 months ago by Israel Adesanya, you just got flatlined by Adesanya. 3 months later, your chin probably hasn't even recovered yet, and you're moving up to 205 to fight one of the hardest-hitting dudes in the UFC. That just destroys people. You know what I'm saying? This is one of the hardest hitting guys in the UFC. True or false? And Pereira is it's true or false. And it's like, and Pereira is moving up. He just got KO'd fifth by Adesanya back in April. Now here in July, he's fighting one of the scariest guys, Jan Blachowicz. Could absolutely devastate him in the opening exchange. It could happen, especially where you already just – your chin, you already just got smacked by Adesanya. You know what I'm saying? So this fight's crazy. That's the ones I'm looking at.
Yeah, man. I think another thing with Pereira is Jan Blachowicz, he don't really have to stand and bang with you. He can wrestle too. And we know Pereira has no ground game at all. He has showed us zero ground game since he's been in the UFC. So a one-trick pony, I don't see, like, man, especially going against a guy like Blachowicz, man, I don't know. But the one guy behind my eyes on the prelims, dog, is Derek Lewis. Man, how the mighty have fallen, bro. Will he come out with a hunger in him to be like, man, I can't believe they got me on the prelims. You know, let me go ahead and show everybody, you know, why I'm used to main eventing, you know, pay-per-views and fight nights and stuff like that. So I'm gonna have my eye on him and his performance and his demeanor. And the fight I'm gonna be looking at, Keys, is a guy that me and you are very high on. but he has a weakness in his game that it seems like he hasn't addressed. And this fight, if he didn't address it, it's going to be over with quick. Kevin Holland taking on Michael Chiesa, man. Kevin Holland cannot fight off his back, bro. I mean, he did knock out Jacare Souza from his back, but we can say that was lucky. So we can call that luck or, you know, perfect timing, but I just don't see how Kevin Holland can make this a competitive fight if he can't defend the takedown and if he hasn't learned how to fight off his back. And that's going to be something that he needs to work on to be a successful guy in the UFC. So how about on Derek Lewis? I want to see how he responds by not being on the main card, by not being, you know, down that he's on the prelims. He ain't even the main event on the prelims. So I want to see his disposition, how he comes out. And Kevin Holland, bro, this is a big fight for you, man. You're going against Michael Chiesa, a guy that's known for his smothering style, constant movement, and being able to take guys down. But all right, man, let's jump into it. You know, let's see. We got about 15 minutes to get our predictions in. So starting with the first fight, Keys, who you got? Michael Chiesa taking on Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland's actually favorite, minus 150. To Chiesa at plus 125. Who you got, bro?
I'm going with Kevin Holland, first of all. You know, us Kevin's got to stick together. I say it every time. And that's my guy. You know, Kevin Holland's pretty much like, he's pretty much the closest thing we have to an MCU superhero in real life. So, you know, that's epic. He hasn't addressed his ground game and his shortcoming there, but at the same time, I like the way he looked when he fought Cowboy Oliveira not that long ago. That might have been like a year, 2 years ago. I did like the way he looked when he was on the ground with Cowboy Oliveira there. It didn't look like he panicked. Obviously versus Chimaev, I mean, you're fighting Hamzat Chimaev, bro, special. It's like, I don't really put too much stock into that loss. And then he fought Wonderboy. Wonderboy is, you know, pretty much going to outstrike 99% of the UFC. So it is what it is. And that was a great fight. So I think he could beat Michael Chiesa here. I never really thought Michael Chiesa, this is another guy. I never really thought he was that good. I mean, nice guy, you know. It's not like some certain other guys where it's like, I don't like that attitude. Like, I feel like Michael Chiesa is a really nice guy. Like, I don't dislike him. It's just I never really saw him to be like that dangerous. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like he has like a thing that he does extremely well. You know what I mean? I think he's good at most things, but I don't think he's great at anything. You know, if that makes sense. You know, I think he has a little bit of each discipline, but he's not great at any one thing. And I think Kevin Holland, I think we'll see that he's been working on some things, and I think he'll address his issues, and I think he'll be ready to mostly keep the fight standing as well. I don't think he's going to come in and get taken down right away. You know what I mean? I don't think we'll see that. I think he'll look to keep the fight standing, but I think if it goes to the ground, I think he'll be ready for it. If there's some submission attempts from Chiesa, I think he'll defend the submissions well. And I think I see him stopping Michael Chiesa. I think he'll get back to his feet each time. You know, his submission defense will be there. He'll get back to his feet each time. And I think he'll stop Michael Chiesa. I see Kevin Holland probably – I'm going to go with the key special. I think the third round TKO for Kevin Holland. I think so. I think the difference in the striking will be pretty clear early on. And as long as Kevin Holland gets back to his feet, which I definitely think he will, I think third round TKO, Kevin Holland.
Oh, man, I really want to go with Kevin Holland, man. But I think Chiesa is going to just keep him on the mat, man. I think Chiesa is going to keep him on the mat. He's going to make it a boring fight. He's going to negate what Kevin Holland does best, and that's basically to strike the stand-up game. So I'm going to say Chiesa wins, man. I'm going to say a split decision. I think he's going to make the fight super boring. And, Dang, I really want to go with Kevin Holland, but I'm going to be objective on this one, and I'm going to stick with Mike and Chiesa on this one. Tony Ferguson, +310, Bobby Green, -400. I never thought I would see the day where Bobby Green would be favorite to beat Tony Ferguson. But that day is here. Tony Ferguson hasn't really looked good in probably 2 or 3 years. I thought he was on his way of beating Michael Chandler. Then he get knocked out with a foot kick or, you know, up kick. So who you got, Keys? Bobby Green or Tony Ferguson?
Man, Bobby Green's gonna beat him pretty easily. I don't think Tony has, you know, I don't think he's gonna have much for him. I think maybe before, you know, I mean, if we didn't see, you know, the Nate Diaz fight and the more recent work from Tony Ferguson, I just think. You know, he's been stopped. You know, he took a lot of damage versus Justin Gaethje. I think that fight changed him, bro. I think his fight with Gaethje changed him. You know what I mean? He took a lot of damage in that fight and stayed in there. And I think that kind of spread out after that. You know what I mean? We kind of saw the effects of that. And obviously, you know, everybody from the time is undefeated as well. I mean, he's getting older, you know, and it's, I think Bobby Green's, this is going to be a big moment for Bobby Green, you know what I'm saying? I just think it's a bad, the only way that I could see Tony winning is if he could find a submission, and because I do think he could submit Bobby Green, but does Bobby Green even let the fight get there, you know what I mean? And I think the answer is no. I don't even know if I see Tony shooting a takedown. I mean, when's the last time we even saw Tony shoot a takedown? Like, he never really goes for that. You know, the last time I even saw him, the only thing I can think back to is when he fought Kevin Lee, and that was when Kevin Lee, you know, had him and Kevin Lee was in full mount, was in, you know, had top control. He was in full mount, and that was when Tony, you know, was able to submit Kevin Lee from the bottom. But I don't think that Tony, I think Kevin Lee had taken him down. Or Tony had gotten knocked down. I don't think Tony, he never really tries to take people to the ground, which maybe he should, especially at this point in his career, but I don't think he will. And I think Bobby Green, there's going to be a clear difference in the striking. Bobby Green, man, it's tough, bro. Yeah, I got Bobby Green. I don't know exactly by how I have Bobby Green, but yeah, I think Bobby Green definitely wins this fight, man. That's how I'll put it.
We're going out on the Tony Shield, man. I'm going to say Tony wins this fight, bro. I like the way he looked against Chandler until he got caught. You know, you have made an excellent observation about his head movement and his boxing, and I think that's what Bobby Green wants to do. And I think, you know, maybe this is the fight that we see Tony Ferguson do some boxing and maybe, you know, revert back to the old Tony Ferguson, man, this fight. But I'm with you. I think Tony should try to take Bobby Green down. He always talking about he can do this, this, and this, but we always see him just do this. I think this is a fight where he should look to make Bobby Green defend takedowns, defend submissions. I'm going with Tony, man. I'm going with Tony to win this fight, Keys. I'm going to say he get lucky and pull off a second-round submission, man. I think Bobby might get overconfident, put his chin out there, do stuff that he doing there. Tony catches him, takes him down, submits him. I'm going to go with Tony Ferguson, second-round submission. Don't hold my feet to the fire on that one. But if he loses, I'm with you. If he loses, it's time, bro. Time for you to go ahead and just shut it down. You know, you had a great career. You definitely had one of the best runs that we ever seen in the UFC. When he was, I guess he was on a 12 or 13 fight win streak. And the fight that was the fight that was never meant to be. Tony versus Khabib. So, you know, that's a pipe dream. But I'm going with Ferguson, bro. Second round submission. Next up, Steven Wonderboy Thompson, minus 150, taking on Michael Pereira, plus 125. Who you got, Kings?
So, we got Bukovic. You got, who we got? Who is it, Bukovic and Pereira?
No, we got Wonderboy versus Pereira.
Wonderboy and Pereira. All right, so I'm going to say this. I think Wonderboy wins the fight. I've really done a lot of back and forth with this one so far this week. And as far as from a betting standpoint, I still don't know where I'm officially going. But I am leaning Wonderboy, though. I just think that, you know, I heard Michelle Pereira has been getting more into grappling. And, you know, we've seen – my initial thought was that Wonderboy struggles versus guys that want to take him down, but that's not necessarily the case. I mean, when you look at the guys that he really lost to or that got the better of him with grappling was guys that are elite grapplers. You know, I mean, it's like Tyron Woodley, Bilal Muhammad, Gilbert Burns. Like, those are the guys that had their way using grappling versus Wonderboy, and those are – very, like, high-level grapplers. You know what I mean? That's not, like, just random dudes that just were practicing and, you know what I mean, for a couple months and just decided to wrestle. You know what I mean? Like, Wonderboy never had a problem until he was fighting, you know, top-level, championship-level guys that knew how to grapple. You know what I mean? Some of the best grapplers in the UFC. And I don't think Michelle Pereira just picking up grappling in the past year or so is going to be enough to, you know, win over the fight with that. And I don't think that he outstrikes Wonderboy either, even with Wonderboy being 40 years of age. I think that's the only that's probably the biggest variable of the fight to me is Wonderboy's 40 and Michelle Pereira is only 29. He'll be 30 later this year. That's probably the biggest variable of the fight. The only way I see Wonderboy losing is if Michelle Pereira somehow catches him with a shot and knocks him out. I think that'd be the only way I would see Michelle Pereira winning. I don't think there's really anybody in the UFC that outstrikes Wonderboy and wins the decision. We saw Darren Till do it, but I didn't see that fight, so technically I didn't see him do it. They gave him the decision, but that was also a home game. For Till, I feel like, you know, who knows? I think they were just trying to push Till at that point. You know, if it was a close fight, they were going to give it to him. And, you know, that's probably what happened. You know, we see a lot of weird judging, especially these days. I don't think there's anybody that outstrikes Wonderboy in the UFC, even at 40 years of age. Dude is an absolute wizard. And he also has only been KO'd once ever, I'm pretty sure, by Anthony Pettis, which was a total flash in the pan moment. I mean, I don't even think Pettis knows how to replicate that KO. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even think he knew he was going to land that shot. You know what I mean? I don't even think he knew that. You're not going to KO Wonderboy, and I don't see you beating him, anybody beating him in a striking match in a decision. So you either got to knock him out or you got to just wrestle fuck him, and I don't think that's going to happen either. So, yeah, I got Wonderboy winning a very fun unanimous decision, like he does in style.
I'm kind of with you on this one. I'm looking at the stats. The stats are really, really close. Significant strikes landed per minute, 5-4, in favor of Michelle. Significant strike accuracy, 56% for Michelle, 50% for Steven Wonderboy. And then you get down to the takedown accuracy, 41% for Wonderboy, 55% for Perel. The only chance Perel got in this fight is he has to make Wonderboy defend the takedown. And, you know, hopefully he can hit him with something, daze him, and then go in for the sub. I want to go up Perel, but you just made a great case for Steven Wonderboy Thompson. Steven Wonderboy Thompson wins this fight, man. I think it's going to be a closely contested fight. I think Steven Thompson wins by unanimous decision. And he's going, and it's going to be a, people going to probably lead this fight with a newfound respect for Michelle Perel. But I'm going with the veteran, man. I'm taking Steven Wonderboy Thompson by unanimous decision. All right, next up. Co-main event, Jan Błachowicz, -125, going against Alex Pereira, +105. Pereira making his light heavyweight debut, going against the former champ. Keys, I think this fight going to start off really, really good. I think the first round might be one of the best first rounds we ever seen. But then I think in the second round, Jan Błachowicz does what Jan Błachowicz does. He grinds you down, works his game plan, and I think he's going to take Pereira down, and he's going to keep him down while grinding and pounding him, striking him, elbowing him. I just don't see Pereira being able to beat a guy like Błachowicz, especially a guy that's well-rounded like Błachowicz. I'm taking Błachowicz to win this fight, unanimous decision. And I think he's going to make it look pretty easy starting in the second round. So, hey, I got Błachowicz winning this fight by unanimous decision. What you got going on in this fight, Keys? Who you got?
I'm going to say this. I am very worried about Pereira's chin, where you just KO'd Stiff. I was saying it earlier, KO'd Stiff against Israel Adesanya 3 months ago. Now he's fighting Jan Błachowicz, who the legendary Polish power, just he'll absolutely devastate pretty much anybody. He can knock out anybody. And that's really what it is. But then again, Jan Błachowicz, I mean, he uses wrestling against Adesanya, which is to me a very similar fight as this one, and he should look to wrestle in this fight, but we didn't see him wrestle versus what's his name that he fought, and they went to a draw, and that was weird. So I don't really know what happened. I mean, unless he was just avoiding going to the mat with Ankalaev, you know, maybe he was avoiding going to the mat on purpose, but I've also seen Błachowicz say that he wants to kickbox with Alex Fajardo, which I think is a terrible idea. And I'm going to lean that he does that and that he doesn't wrestle, but that he also doesn't KO Pereira. I think Pereira is going to KO him, and Pereira is going to put himself in place to fight for the light heavyweight title. With this win, it's going to be a crazy upset. I want to say he's a +100 underdog right now. I think the betting lines know something we don't, and that's why the odds are so close with this fight. Pereira is only a +100. I think he KOs Jan Błachowicz because Błachowicz makes a bad move by not taking him down and wanting to stand and bang with Pereira to appease the crowd or have the fight he likes or whatever his reason, because he did say that. And I think he gets himself KO'd by Pereira probably, I'm going to go with round two. I think Pereira KOs him in round two. And then we get Pereira versus whoever it's going to be in, you know, later this year, because light heavyweight is such a chaotic division.
So you think he'll get a title shot even though he's coming off a loss to Izzy? You think just because he won his first fight at 205, they'll give him a title shot?
I'm saying they give it to him because he beat Jan. I mean, you're fighting pretty much one of the number one contenders. I feel like Blachowicz is right there, and he was the champion. So, and I'm also pretty sure he's the number two, if not number three guy at that division. So I don't really see why you would have Pereira take another fight if he can beat Jan Blachowicz. You know, he was the champ. I don't think that makes a ton of sense to do that. And plus, it's like, who's even going to have him fight? Like, all these guys are in surgery or injured. Like, you don't even have guys there for him to fight. You might as well just, when Jerry comes back, let's just run it. You know what I mean? I definitely think so.
All right, man. Let's get to the main event. Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje. Very interesting fight. Very interesting fight. Both guys lost to Charles Oliveira. Both guys lost to Khabib. This has a chance to be a banger fight, bro. Who you got in this fight?
I got to go with DP, man. I got to go with Poirier. You know what I'm saying? I feel I'm pretty sure you were saying earlier in the show to avoid this fight from betting on this fight. And I agree. I think that, but still, so with just picking it and not from a betting standpoint, just from me and just knowing, Poirier only loses to the very best guys. You know what I mean? He's only lost to Khabib, lost to Oliveira. He's beating everybody else, you know what I'm saying? And I just don't see him losing. I think he's better than Gaethje. Do I think Gaethje's evolved more than Dustin in the past 5 years? Yes, I do. But do I think he's better than Dustin Poirier? Absolutely not. And I do think the biggest factor, the biggest whatever that word is in this fight, the biggest variable, and it's going to play in Justin Gaethje's favor, is the elevation. I think the elevation is a big thing on this card, and that could impact all of our picks. That could throw off all these odds, all the fights. A lot of these guys are going to be impacted by that elevation. We saw what happened. Usman got KO'd fifth this time last year in Salt Lake City versus Leon Edwards. He got KO'd fifth, and a lot of fighters were thrown off fighting in Salt Lake City due to the elevation. And an interesting point that somebody brought up was Dustin Poirier trains in Florida, and Justin Gaethje fights in Colorado, which is actually higher elevation than Salt Lake City. So he's actually going down fighting there, where Dustin Poirier, hopefully Poirier got out there early. Hopefully he's been out there for at least a couple weeks now, maybe even a month now. Hopefully he's been out there training, you know what I mean? Because I hope that guy's not coming in, you know, today or this week trying to get out and adjust the elevation with a couple days, because that could be bad. So I think the biggest thing playing for Gaethje is that he trains actually at a higher elevation than Salt Lake City, so I don't think he'll be as affected as most of these other fighters who train, you know, in other states at lower elevations. But even regardless of that, I think it's Dustin Poirier. He's that dude, and I still think he beats Justin Gaethje and defies the odds there. And I think he TKOs Justin Gaethje again, man. I think he does. I think Dustin Poirier, TKO, probably. I think the same thing, championship rounds like the last fight. I'm going to go with Dustin Poirier's fifth round TKO.
Oh, man, I'm picking Dustin Poirier also. I just think he's a better all-around fighter. I think he has more ways of winning than just knocking Dustin out. But if Gaethje can implore his leg kicks, he would definitely have a better chance of winning this fight. He ate up Michael Chandler legs. Poirier has been doing a lot of leg kicks here too. So, man, I'm going to go Dustin Poirier. I'm going to say his more ways of beating you brings him the victory in this fight. I think he takes Justin down. He made Justin Justin think in this fight. And I think when guys are doing more thinking than fighting, they're definitely subjected to lose. I'm going to take Poirier to win this fight. I'm going to say... We'll go fourth round submission, man. I think Poirier submits him in the fourth round, man. I'm going to go with Poirier getting this by submission in the fourth round. So tonight, man, we covered a lot, man. We talked about boxing. You know, we talked about Sanhagen and Font. We talked about, Chimaev coming back. Michael Venom Page coming to the UFC possibly. And then we just did our UFC fight breakdowns and predictions. Any last words for the people, Keys?
Nah, just, you know, enjoy the fights this weekend. Try to get both up, even if you can't afford them. Get both the streams. Put the Crawford and Spence fight up. If it's anything like boxing, they're probably going to have a complete shit show for an undercard, and it's only going to be worth watching the main event. So just wait on it until you can get to the main event. Maybe get into it like the co-main event so you don't get, like, glitched out on the stream with everyone clicking, you know, clicking the fight. Get that up on the side and then get UFC 291 on there too, and you can just switch back and forth. And then besides that, you know what I say, life is short. Love each other. Seriously, time been flying by. As I get older, it flies by even faster. You know what I mean? 2 weeks feels like 2 days most of the time. And honestly, like, I just think that, you know, lately I've been, and this is kind of touching to me. Lately I've been reaching out to some people, you know what I mean? I've been reaching out to people I hadn't talked to in a while, and I'm like, damn, like, maybe I should reconnect with this person. And that's not to say reconnect with, like, toxic people that treated you badly and all this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying reach out to people that you never had a problem with, people that you just kind of drifted away from, you know what I mean? They're just for no particular reason. You kind of just drifted away from them. You know what I mean? Reach back out to them and see what's going on in their life and reconnect there. If, you know, there was always a positive connection, life just kind of gets in the way. You kind of drift and life gets busy. You know what I mean? But don't let that be the reason that, you fall off with each other, because, you know what I mean? 2 years goes by. I was just talking to somebody I messaged earlier, and I said, how have I not spoken to you in 2 years? You know what I mean? And when I asked that question, I was really asking myself that question too, because it kind of mind boggled me. I was like, I don't really know. But yeah, that's what I'll leave with that. You know, life is short. Love each other. Time moves quick, so make your moments quality. You know what I mean? Treat people as best as you can, and you know, show love wherever you can and help out wherever you can. Peace out.
Yeah, man. I ain't much to really add. If you're going out watching the fights this weekend, make sure you don't drink and drive. You know, be responsible. Take care of you. Take care of yourself. Take care of your loved ones. That being said, Lee and Keys out. As always, we're in the show with a pace. Oof.